You're listening to DraftKings Network. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That's a cold open. Welcome to Oddball.
Welcome to Oddball. I'm Amino Hassan. That's Charlotte Wilder right there in the studio. Look,
if I put my hand right here,
we're in the same place.
We're in the same place at the same time in Miami.
The City of Dreams, Miami.
Yes.
What do they call it?
I think it's like the Magic City.
No, that's Orlando.
Oh, never mind. we've got a fun show for you guys today. It's Wednesday, so we're going to bring back some word count. Get them paws ready. Get them digits ready. Get them abacuses. Abacai?
Ooh, abacai?
Abacai ready. Abacai sounds like pig Latin.
It also sounds like Jamiroquai.
It does. Also, Steph Curry for president?
What?
You know what?
What?
Here at Oddball, we're ahead of the curve. We already got his cabinet picked out.
We sure do.
But first, we start in the world's most famous arena. Where
coming Garden?
Don't you dare. Coming out of the tunnel like Willis Reed triumphantly was OG Anunoby. And like Willis Reed, he had a very modest game, but everyone's going to make a big deal out of it because the Knicks blew out the Sixers despite the return of Tyrese Maxey for the Sixers as well.
OG Anunoby with a beautiful 14 points. I mean, the Knicks are back. In all seriousness, though, it was fun to see OG back and Tyrese Maxey back. Like, I think, like, I like when the fun guys come back. I mean, I don't know if OG's fun, but he's fun to watch.
No,
he's very serious.
He's look, these are the IQ guys that we're talking about here. But this is the interesting thing. So the other night, Sixers and Knicks played.
And it was a slugfest. It was like a college basketball game.
79-74.
Yeah.
The Sixers won.
Yeah.
Fast forward, the Sixers scored 79 points again, but the Knicks score 106. That's plus 32. Now you say, how much of that could OG Anunoby be worth? Tell me why he was plus 28 in the game. Woo! He was plus 28 and they were plus 32 on the night.
Wow.
All but four of those points. Thank you, OG Anunoby.
Thank you, OG Anunoby. Yeah, a lot of celebration. In my house,
you got frantic phone calls.
I got a phone call from my husband, the Knicks fan, saying, beautiful, absolutely beautiful triple-double from Josh Hart.
I got a lot of Josh Hart in my Knicks.
People love Josh Hart. Josh Hart is doing what they needed Josh Hart to do. He's rising up the Knicks ladder. He's getting close to Jalen Brunson in terms of how much Knicks fans love the Hart that this guy plays.
Oh, I see what you did there. I talked to Jared Allen the other day, and I asked him, what is it about the Knicks? Because they've lost two out of three to the Knicks. Obviously, they lost to the Knicks in the first round. I said, what is it about the Knicks that gives you guys problems? And he said, well, for one, you know, obviously not right now because they're all hurt, but, like, they're a big team. Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle, Hartenstein, they're all big guys. But he said the other thing is Josh Hart, a lot of people don't recognize. He plays pretty big, too.
He does.
And that, like, he's like another big for them, and that gives the Cavs some issues in terms of matching up with another team that has great size as well. So shout out to Josh Hart. Shout out to the Knicks.
I just want to say, Josh, we see you and we respect you. What do you think he sees that and he's like, thanks?
Yeah, no, I think, you know what? I think on the Roommates podcast,
yeah,
Oddball's going to get a shout out.
Listen, Josh and they should Josh and Jalen should have us on the Roommates podcast. Do you guys want to come on our show?
Yeah, there you go. That's a fair trade. You come over here.
A home and home?
Yeah.
Is that what they call that?
Yes.
In the sports biz?
Yes. And by the way, we could do it in New York. You guys don't even have to fly down to Miami. We could go
That'd be so fun.
To the Metalark Studios in New York.
You'll be there next week.
I'll be there next week. Guys, what do you do next week?
Yeah.
I think they're on the road, actually. I checked the schedule. But at some point, we'll work this out. So Charlotte, Steph Curry was on CBS Mornings promoting his new children's book.
Called I Am Extraordinary?
Oh, I thought that was a quote.
I did too at first.
I swear to God. I watched the clip a million times, and every time I was like, when is he going to talk about being extraordinary?
That lower, it says I Am Extraordinary, and you think. But instead, the quote was, I might run for president.
Yeah.
Steph Curry for president.
Thank y'all for welcoming us here.
Yay, nay, maybe.
Maybe.
Do you have an interest in politics?
I have an interest in leveraging every part of my influence for good in the way that I can. So if that's the way to do it, then I'm not saying the presidency, but if politics is a way that you can create meaningful change, or if there's another way outside of politics, you know, that we can do.
You're not ruling it out?
No.
2028, you never
not
know.
That soon.
Not that soon, okay.
So.
Do you think he would actually do this?
1,000%.
Me too.
1,000%.
I think Steph Curry has actually been, you know the kid, maybe not.
Do I know what?
I was about to say, you know the kid in college who wouldn't put pictures on Facebook, but Facebook was after your time? Sorry, I mean. There's one kid who would always be like, you can't take a picture of me with a beer in my hand because I'm going to run for office someday.
Was that the thing that you guys dealt with?
100%.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, take all the pictures you want. We're not going anywhere. But right. I feel like Steph Curry has lived his life in the NBA that way. To prepare to run for office.
Yeah, no, he's as squeaky clean as they come. I don't want to talk about his chances or whether he's going to do it or not. I'm just assuming he's doing it, and I'm assuming he's winning.
Okay.
And so I want to fill out his cabinet for
him. Okay. First, I have a list of, like, what the cabinet people are.
Bowls, mugs, dishes, glassware, flatware.
Okay. Well, now the show's over. So
that's for that heart joke.
That's fair. Okay. I mean, who's his vice president? Clay?
Vice president's got to be Clay.
It's got to be Clay.
Splash
Clay. Clay also has vice president energy. He's like, he can be calm. He can be just like doing his thing in the background. You don't really know what Clay's up to.
But also, in a pinch, he can step in and take command.
Absolutely.
You need the vice president. It can't just be someone who's kind of second banana. It's a second banana who, if required, could step up and be first banana. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, you had on Le Batard Show today, you had a really great Secretary of Defense.
Secretary of Defense is Draymond. North Korea, China, Russia, Iran, no one's messing with us anymore.
Absolutely not. You know, honestly, like, even if it weren't Steph, like, whoever wins this next election, God, please. Anyway, can't even think about that. Make Draymond the Secretary of Defense.
What is the Secretary of Defense equivalent of putting Rudy Gobert in a chokehold? Is that nuking Paris?
No. I was going to say a strong warning to Russia.
Oh, no,
I think it's nuking Paris.
I think it's a nuclear launch.
Wow.
All right, what else we got? What other
positions? I don't know if I would trust Draymond with
I trust him. Because that's the thing. It's like, as a Secretary of Defense, no one's going to mess with us. Because they know. They'll look, like, guys, look, he choked Rudy Gobert 18 seconds into the game. Guys, we can't mess with America anymore.
They're like, he is not bluffing ever. Okay, who would be the Secretary of State?
Secretary of State. Steve Kerr.
Really? Because I see him as chief of staff.
No. Steve Kerr, Secretary of State.
Diplomat.
Diplomat's son.
Yep.
Lived abroad. All that stuff. And he's familiar with, he's a multicultural, global kind of guy. Yeah, Steve Kerr is your Secretary of State, hands down.
You know who I have as Secretary of the Treasury?
Who's that?
Chris Paul. Just like,
yeah.
He's like, numbers. He would also like needle the Fed constantly. He'd be like, he'd be like really obnoxious about inflation.
He would use that voice. Absolutely.
Right. You gotta keep inflation down.
What else you got? Let's see.
There's Attorney General, and there's a bunch of stuff that I don't. Oh, Secretary of Agriculture.
Oh, that's easy. It's the man that drafted him, Don Nelson.
Why?
Secretary of Agriculture.
Oh.
Agriculture.
Agriculture.
It's a weed euphemism, guys. Get it?
Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Oh, that would be...
Who's the trainer guy?
Rick Celebrini.
Yeah. There you go.
Dr. Rick. There you
go. Dr. Rick. Secretary of Transportation.
Oh, that would be Jordan Poole. Traveling. Always. Yeah. See, just because you don't play for the Warriors anymore doesn't mean you can't still be in the cabinet.
With LeBron... LeBron would be his competition.
That's the opposing ticket, yeah.
Who would LeBron's chief of staff be? Rich Paul?
No, it would be his current chief of staff. It would be Randy.
Oh,
right.
Like, yeah.
Actually
LeBron has a cabinet.
He already has a cabinet.
LeBron's built his out.
Almost like it's like he's got a leg up in this. So we got a lot of work to do, Steph. Oh, I got one more for you.
Yeah.
I got the chief of staff.
Who?
It's going to be Kent Bazemore. Kent Bazemore, by the way, the reason why Steph is at Under Armour. So, shout out to Kent Bazemore. I take care of the people who aren't necessarily here.
Here's a good one, actually. Mm-hmm. Secretary of Veterans Affairs.
Ooh, veteran. Kevon Looney. He seems like the kind of guy that, you know, like he's got very vet vibes, even though he hasn't served,
And he'd be like, I know what you need, and I know how to get it for you. And he'd be like, Steph.
And I'm not flashy. I'm going to do it, low-key. What else you got?
This is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
United States Ambassador to the United Nations.
Oof.
I feel like he would be like, look, I know we didn't play together, but Udonis Haslam, can you do me a solid?
No.
Really? He needs someone with like gravitas.
No. Udonis Haslam could be the Joint Chief of Staff. That's what he could be.
Okay.
But Andre Iguodala. There you go. Now he's a guy.
He can schmooze anybody.
I'm telling you right now, Andre Iguodala, you're UN material, buddy. I know. My dad worked in the UN. I know these things. I can pick up on. Yeah.
Chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, Bob Myers.
Yeah. No. Yeah. He's pretty good at cap circumvention. I mean, cap manager. Sorry.
All right. One more here. God, there are a lot.
There's a lot.
Freaking
housing and urban development. There's education.
Director of the CIA.
Oh, who's the CIA guy?
I feel like maybe also Draymond. Would be the first ever CIA. He's not very secret.
I was going to say Chris Paul. Chris Paul is a guy who's
gets away with everything.
Yeah, he like presents as, I'm a clean cut Chris Paul State Farm ads, and then he punches people in the nuts. So it's like, that's very CIA.
What did we have?
You know what? He's not treasury.
So who's treasury?
Oh, Sean Livingston. Because I think he was actually Secretary of the Treasury for the Players Association.
Oh, well, there
once
you
upon
go.
A time. So, yeah, like we got it. One more. Housing and Urban Development, also known as the Urban Development.
Urban Development.
I got to find someone for that one. Housing and Urban Development.
I feel like that could be.
You know who it is? Raymond Ritter. The PR guy for the Warriors. You know, you deserve a nice cushy job, Raymond. Yeah.
And he can find people homes. He knows where to place what story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm reaching. We should do this for other guys.
We should. As we get closer to the election, we're going to have campaigns for every single player in the league. That's how we do. Put plans months in advance and say we'll never get into it.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you've got to listen to Six Trophies, where Shea and Jason serve up the biggest moments from around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington in Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill you might win some ... but you just lost one trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus, a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head-scratching moments around the NBA. This playoff season, you'll want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Charlotte, pause up. We're going to play Word Count. This is the game where we ask each other questions and we have to answer the questions in 10 words or less. And Charlotte, how do we show that they're 10 words or less?
Counting on our fingers, baby.
And while playing an imaginary nose trumpet. All right. You know what? I'll lead us off. So Charlotte, tee me up.
Okay. Amin, your first question. The Magic rewarded coach Jamal Mosley with a 4-year extension that will take him through the 2027-2028 season. Where do you see Mosley and the Magic in the next 4 years?
Depends on if they can get more offensive talent there.
Okay.
So right now, the Magic, one of the great things that Coach Mosley's done since the day he got there was setting the foundation for a great defense and great competitiveness. So even last year when they weren't playing so great, they were in a lot of those games, and they defend at a high rate. This year, they're a top-5 defense. I believe they were top half of the league last year. Also, if you look at what they did last season, they started terribly. But then they were pretty much 500 after January 1, maybe a couple games under 500.
Yeah.
So some of this was kind of already foreshadowed what was happening this year. This year, obviously, they started hot. They had a soft middle, and now they're closing really strong again. But throughout all of this, one thing has remained. This is a team that is in the bottom third in offense overall. So in the bottom third of half-court offense. And yes, and they are the worst three-point shooting team in terms of makes. They're second to last in the league in terms of attempts.
No way.
And they're top bottom five in three-point percentage.
Which is crazy because they're fifth in the East.
Yes.
So to be doing that well, imagine
if they had offense, right? So right now, what their offense, their game plan consists of is we're going to defend, we're gritty, we're tough, we're hard-nosed, all that stuff. And then if the game's close, we're trusting Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner to kind of lift us and carry us. And there are contributions from other people here and there. But by and large, it is a slog of an offense.
Yeah.
So if they can add another transformational offensive player, either on the wing or as a true center, I think this is a team that can contend, and by contend, I mean make it to at least a conference finals within the next 4 years.
Who do you think would be the best addition right now?
It's funny, even though he's not a three-point shooter, I thought DeMar DeRozan would be a guy that they go after at the trade deadline, just because he's a vet, because the other thing about this team is it's very young. A lot of these guys haven't really been around that much, other than Joe Ingles, who's 7,000 years old. So, you know, to have someone who's been there and been on deep playoff runs and been around and but is still very much an accomplished scorer, I thought that could have helped them.
Yeah.
So I thought DeMar DeRozan, but there are other names like that. I'm not married to that one. I'm just bringing that as an example. You need someone who's creative offensively. Mm-hmm. Again, either perimeter or true center, either or, and then obviously a little bit of rind to them.
The future is bright.
Yeah, there you go.
The City of Magic.
From the City of Magic to the City of Swamps.
The swamp.
Drain the Swamp. Washington, D.C. Charlotte with the Virginia Arena deal blocked that would have moved the Wizards out of Washington, D.C. How should Wizards owner Ted Leonsis make amends to fans in the district? Basically, ladies and gentlemen, they had a plan to build a new arena across the way in Virginia, out in the suburbs. This arena, the arena that they play in now, they own. It's in the middle of, in the heart of Washington, D.C., but for whatever reason, money, they want to move it out. That deal got blocked.
And that was with taxpayer money.
Yes.
And it was a $2 billion deal somehow.
And now he's got to come back and like, I'm just joking. So Charlotte, how should Ted Leonsis make amends?
Sell the team?
Oh, no! What a monumental suggestion.
Change of capital, that would be. No, I don't really know, to be honest, because this is like, you could say you're staying in D.C. That would be a great way to make amends. You could say we're going to keep.
Is that amends? that's when you're like, my bad.
If you invest in the stadium, if you update it, but like, it's a pretty tough one to come back from, because basically you're saying we're going to leave this location, which I think is a great location. When I lived in D.C., I went to games there all the time. It was easy to get to. It's
an amazing location.
Chinatown.
So many restaurants, so many stuff around.
Yeah, exactly. Very accessible.
Subways.
By public transportation.
Amtrak station's not too far either.
No, not at all. Yeah. And they're saying, actually, we're going to put this in the suburbs. Very much like a suburban experience of like, you can drive here and it'll be shine. It'll be like a mall used to be. And I just think, I mean, how do you come back from saying that you are going to leave the heart of a city and then it didn't work out?
Can I ask a question, Charlotte?
Yeah.
Because sometimes I feel like I approach things with a certain level of sensitivity that may border on overly sensitive.
Okay.
But whenever I hear a team that plays location-wise in a great location in an urban center, say, we need a new stadium and it needs to be there out in the suburbs, it screams white flight to me.
I was going to say there is an element of race to this that just, it feels like taking it from the center of a city and putting it in Arlington, Virginia, not just like white, but like very white.
Yes.
It seems coded. How else do you take it?
It reminds me.
I don't think that's too sensitive.
It reminds me of the Atlanta Braves who played at Turner Field from like 96, which it was a brand new stadium built for the Olympics.
Yep.
And then a few years ago, so basically about 20 years, maybe, you know, less or a little over 20 years, they moved to a new stadium. That new stadium is out in Gwinnett County, which isn't very accessible via public transportation. And also is not Atlanta. That's not Atlanta. Like Atlanta's Fulton County. And Atlanta being a very black city, like Washington, D.C., a very black city, to say, hey, we're going to move the team and we're going to put it out where the white folks moved a long time ago when they left, when they white flight, they fled the city. It feels weird. It's the opposite of what's happened in Detroit, where the team was playing out in the suburbs and they came back downtown to Joe Louis Arena. In downtown Detroit.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that especially when you're talking about such a rich suburb, like, like, you know, Virginia, that part of Alexandria is unbelievably wealthy. Mm-hmm. You're basically saying these are the types of people that we want to come to these games most easily. These are the people that we're going to take their money and we're going to pander to them.
And there's another part of this, right? The assumption that these moneyed people would never come into D.C. to come see a game. Like, I feel like sometimes they ascribe the lack of business with, well, it's because we're in the middle of the hood or whatever. Which, by the way, it's not. It's a really nice neighborhood. When in actuality, the reason why people don't come to games is because you've sucked for a very, very long time. Wizards.
And it's easier to move the team than find out how to develop a system of player development and good drafting.
Or actually run the team
The team. Yeah. Candace Buckner of the Washington Post, one of my favorite writers and people. We should have her on because she wrote a great article about stadiums in cities and how there's a lot of people starting to, you know, as downtown, especially with the pandemic, became less of a thing and more difficult in terms of people not going to offices, whatever, all these owners saying, like, we want to move.
Yeah.
And she has a great piece on that. So, Candace,
Buckner. Shout out. All right.
Okay.
Last one.
Oh, this is a joint one.
A joint chief of staff.
Yeah.
That happens later, after hours. that's another agriculture weed joke. Here we go. There are multiple errors, Charlotte Wilder, on the Kobe Bryant statue revealed outside of Crypto.com Arena that are to be fixed. How should they reprimand the people that made the mistakes?
Before we do the word count part of this, I just have to say my favorite thing in the world is spelling mistakes in very permanent places. These mistakes are literally written in stone. I think that's one of the funniest things you can do.
All right.
Okay, so how should they reprimand the people?
Okay. Oh, you want me to go first?
You want to alternate words?
Oh, then I have to guess what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, go.
You start.
They
should
absolutely
not
allow
them
to
go. No, games.
I was going to say.
They should What were you going to say?
I was going to say make the other statues.
I'm like, you are banned from Staples. I will never call it crypto.com.
I was going to say you're banned from making these other statues.
Yeah.
Because here's a problem, Charlotte, mm-hmm. right? There's three typos. Two of them were player names. One was Jose Calderon. Mm-hmm. They wrote Calderson. And they're going off of the actual box score, as you can see on your screen. Jose Calderson.
How do you...
It's bad enough that you messed up the name of a player. It's even worse that Jose Calderon played for the Lakers in 2016. All right? The other name was Vaughn Wafer. They wrote Vom with an M. It's almost like the person was like, Vom? Vom.
But also like there's some type of stuff because I'm looking at my computer.
Those are the two names. But then the last part, and this one is the mwah. They spelled decision. Decision. I can't pronounce it, but it's horribly misspelled. And the problem, Charlotte.
Yes.
Isn't that both Vaughn Wafer and Jose Calderon are both former Lakers? You know, shout out to once a Laker, always a Laker, or whatever. Lakers family, Laker Nation, all that crap, right? But the problem is that when you have an undertaking like this, mm-hmm. quite possibly the most important statue they've done because it's the first posthumous one, I believe, of the players. I don't know if Chick Hearn was a lot. Yeah, Chick Hearn was probably already there. But like this one is like Kobe's.
Well, it's Kobe.
You could argue Kobe is the greatest figure in the history of the franchise. And that's saying a lot given Magic and Shaq and Kareem and all the other, Jerry West, all the other great players.
D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, right? Statue forthcoming. But they call him Dangalo because they won't have the apostrophe. It's not just that, right? It's the idea that, okay, I got it. Here it is. This is what we're going to have on the statue. Yeah, it looks good to me. There's no way this was cleared by one person. There had to be multiple eyes that went across this. And they all kind of just gleaned over it and didn't notice. And even if you don't know the players, like, I don't know who this Jose Calderson is. You know how to spell decision, right?
Well, also, you know how to look it up. Like, the most important thing on anything that you're making permanent is it spelled correctly?
How do they fix it?
I don't think that they should be allowed to just redo it. No? I think they should live with their mistake. I think they should remember what they've done. So they should make little plaques where it's like, you know, you used to use whiteout and you would like white it out.
Yeah, the
so it's
strips.
Like it's like bronze whiteout and then it's spelled correctly. So they like and put it in with like four little screws over it so that you can see where the spelling mistakes were.
That's actually pretty cool. I like that one. I also like the joke that you made earlier when we were before the show, which was they should have to chisel in like a red squiggly line underneath, indicating that it is a typo.
That was funny. I did say that.
That's all the oddball for today. Charlotte, what the hell is going on with your hair?
Ugh, I've been trying to fix it the whole show and now it's over.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.